You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome, and you are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, today is 2/9/2021, and it's time for another Triple Lutz Report. This is Triple Lutz Report number 487. So I wanted to bring you up a little bit on COVID, talk a little bit about what's happening with Robinhood and the so-called democratization of Wall Street. Like, yeah, right. And wanted to just talk about health in general and things you can do to improve your health. So first, let's just talk about the Robinhood phenomena. Look, there's funniest thing. I knew that this was a meme, that this was a narrative, and that the Robinhooders were not going to cash in on this thing, that it was the hedge funds. And to understand my reasoning and way of looking at this, if you've ever watched the show Billions, this is a scene out of Billions. And let me explain. Hedge funds, hedge fund managers, and I know some of my good friends are hedge fund managers, or used to be, are very greedy people. It's all about the money, the payoff. Now, I'm not saying that they're all unethical, certainly not. But if you watch Billions, they'll be partying together, the hedge fund managers, like it's 1999. Then the next minute, they're back in the office trying to stick a shiv in each other's ribs. And this is exactly what happened with GameStop. We find that there was one hedge fund that admitted to making $700 million by going long on GameStop. And obviously, they got in very early and they got out at the top, something that individual investors just weren't able to do. And what did they do? As we found out, they manipulated the Reddit board. They were leaking articles on how great GameStop was going to be, that they're adapting for the future, that this is a great way to screw the short sellers. And look, there shouldn't be a situation where there are these massive short positions. They're largely a result of manipulation of the rules. And in the U.S., there shouldn't be any naked short selling, but when you have 140% of a company's stock is short, you know that there's a whole lot of manipulating going on there, that's for sure. So companies like this fund SunVest, they make $700 million. The Redditors get in and they ride it up to the top, and then they ride the elevator crashing to the basement. And that is the way these things work. They've always worked this way on Wall Street. The insiders have the advantage. The insiders have the ability to execute trades that you and I cannot do. And we only have to look at the fact that the brokers were stopping people from buying additional shares, purportedly because they had collateral calls. But I'll bet their collateral calls were orchestrated by a lot of the big short hedge funds who were suffering billions in losses. It's going to be interesting to see who made money when this was going on, what funds made money on the up and what funds made money on the down. But one thing's for sure, when the stock goes from 13 to 1500 to 500, rather, a lot of shorts are going to get burned and they're going to be forced out. They're going to have to cover because they just don't have the ability to hold on through such a parabolic move. And what this did, and perhaps it'll do what the regulators couldn't do or don't want to do, is create a form of de facto regulation on these widely shorted stocks, where other funds recognize the vulnerabilities, they get the Redditors to jump in, and then they crush these shorts. That is what happened here. I don't care what anybody else says. That's the way I perceive it. This was not the people rising up against the shorts, although they may have felt they were doing that. But the reality was, no, this was a way for the competitors to crush their competition, to crush the short funds. And we see this quite often in every industry, it eventually eats its own. I've seen it in law firms, the legal industry, lawyers suing each other, medical, pharmaceuticals, all industries eventually turn on each other, even though they are naturally allied, and they try to put each other out of business and burn each other. It's the nature of competition, and eventually they'll acquire them. Now, one model that these short sellers have used for years is they'll drive a company short, almost out of business, to the point where the company can't get any financing. And then they'll turn around and offer them cut rate or cutthroat financing. And it's just wrong. The other thing they do is they have so-called independent analysts create research reports on why this stock is such a dog. And then they release them all over the place. So they constantly get cloned, replicated, and repeated, further driving the stock down. So it's one thing to represent opportunities. It's another thing to insure your neighbor's house and then go burn it down. This really isn't any different than collateralized debt obligations where they would buy, you know, CDOs on securities they didn't own, or they'd sell them short and then wait for the housing market to crash or help crash it themselves. Obviously, it was going to crash. Wall Street had nothing to do with forcing it, but the perhaps some of the short sellers did effectively escalate or exacerbate the downfall. I'm not blaming them for this. I'm just telling you, it wasn't brought on by short sellers, the housing crisis, but they did cash in handsomely, as they should have, because it was an absurd situation, and we're probably heading for another one just like it.
Don't just survive. Thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Silver One Resources is an exploration and development company backed by strategic investors Eric Sprott and SSR Mining. At Silver One's Candelaria Mine project in Nevada, there is already a historic resource estimated at 127 million ounces of silver, which Silver One is developing and advancing. The company's Phoenix Silver Project, located within the Arizona Silver Belt, is an early-stage exploration project on which native silver vein fragments have been discovered near surface. One grab sample assayed an astounding 14,688 ounces per ton. Yes, that's right, ounces, not grams. Silver One has tremendous exploration potential, is extremely leveraged to the price of silver, and is cashed up and poised to increase shareholder value. Silver One trades in New York under the ticker SLVRF and in Toronto under the ticker SVE. To learn more, go to silverone.com. That's silverone.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
So COVID, as you know, I spent a week in the hospital for COVID-19, never thought I would get it. I believe that the disease exists. I wasn't a COVID denier. I was taking vitamin D3, I was taking HCQ, I was taking zinc and a bunch of other vitamins. I went to my doctor and he explained to me that his son was also in Miami and had contracted COVID-19. His theory, and I put some stock in it, he wrote a book, named Chauncey Crandall IV, wrote a book about fighting COVID. And he believes that there's some virulent, very contagious strains. And when you see hotspots, it's because those strains have hit. So it's more contagious. I know exactly, almost to the moment where I got it, and it was exactly 7 days to the day from where I was in Miami that I wound up getting symptoms. But here I am, got out of the hospital on January 3rd. It's over a month later, nearly 5 weeks. And I can tell you that I am in better health now than I was before I caught COVID. My weight's 10 pounds less. My blood pressure is way, way lower. It was high. My blood sugar is lower. And I'm sleeping much better because less snoring, less sleep apnea, because when you lose weight, you sleep better because you're not going to be snoring all the time. And because the weight's less, I have a lot of steps in my house. My knees feel 1,000% better. It's amazing how much better my knees feel. I'm shocked, kind of. I shouldn't be, because it's 10 pounds less on those joints. I'm in my 60s and the joints do wear out, or they certainly wear. Would I recommend you to go get COVID so you could lose 10 pounds? I was actually down 18 pounds, but I gained 8 of it back. But what it's done is focused me more on my health. I am now on a low carb diet because I want to keep that weight off, and I'm doing intermittent fasting. Check out intermittent fasting and low carb diets. There are stories of people taking their A1C from 15 to 5.5. Mine wasn't so bad. Mine last after my illness was at 7 because I was eating up everything in sight, sweets or whatever, but I've stopped doing that now. I'll be happy when it goes down to 5.5. Obviously, shouldn't be doing any of this without talking to a physician or medical professional who you rely upon and trust. But trust me on this, I haven't felt better than I feel now, a month, 5 weeks after COVID, than I felt in years. Getting back to the gym, not as much as I would like and what I desire, but I'll be back there soon. So you don't hear this flip side of health improvements after COVID. Fortunate, I got really good medical care, and they made sure that the cytokine storm didn't kill me and that the blood clots in the lungs didn't kill me. I was getting blood thinners. They really knew what they were doing. Can't thank them enough. So just remember, don't treat COVID as totally a negative. It can be an opportunity for you to improve upon your health should it happen to you. Anyway, that's it for now. It's been another Triple Lutz Report. Kerry Lutz signing off.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.